Today is a children's sermon, which has been here before. You know, it takes a little bit of setup. So I first need to humbly ask adults in the first few rows to just scooch out towards the edges. And then what's a child? Yeah, I couldn't find it against the Google. So I'm going to invite kids 14 and under, are invited to come sit in the front two rows here. Maybe, Alyssa, would you mind sharing a couple of those chairs? Angelita. Well, you're 14 and under, you are invited. Your parents' endorsement. Come sit right in front.
To seek and to save the lost. That's amazing.
So the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We're going to try to memorize that today, all right? First, I'm going to read 19:1-10. So if you know how to read, look at your Bible and follow along as I read Luke chapter 19, verses 1-10. It's talking about Jesus. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Let's all say this together. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So this story starts off talking about Zacchaeus. Maybe you've heard this story before because it's kind of strange in the Bible, somebody climbing a tree. But what are we supposed to notice about Zacchaeus? That's what we're going to start by talking about. What are we supposed to notice about Zacchaeus? We're going to start with just some basics. So Zacchaeus, living in Jericho, that's the first thing you learn, that's where this is happening. Living in Jericho, there was a man. Could you say a man? Living in Jericho, there was a man. There was a man named Zacchaeus. Could you say Zacchaeus?
Zacchaeus.
Living in Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And Luke tells us his name was Zacchaeus. And Jesus calls him Zacchaeus. But everybody else in the story just calls him a sinner. So you know what kind of man this was. Living in Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. You say chief tax collector?
Chief tax collector.
Now here's a tricky question. What do tax collectors collect?
Money.
They collect money, right? In particular, they collect taxes from people. People are supposed to give some of their money, this was the law anyway, to the government. But most people don't want to give their money to the government, especially in that time, because the government was Roman. So somebody had to come around and collect it. Right? So there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief, a top, a head, a ruling tax collector. There was a man in Jericho named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and was rich. Can you say rich?
Yes.
Yeah, how do we get rich? He was a chief tax collector. Okay. All right. A man named Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. Can you say to see who Jesus was? I think it's interesting. It doesn't just say he was seeking to see Jesus. And I think maybe it's because he'd never seen Jesus before. If I say I'm going to see my mom, it doesn't mean I've never seen her before. I'm just going to see my mom. But if I say I want to see who that person is, maybe it means I've never met them before. So he's trying to see who Jesus was. In Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he couldn't because he was small. Could you say couldn't because he was small? I don't know if you've ever been in a place with a bunch of people and there's something happening in front of them, but you're a kid, maybe you're smaller, and it's hard to see. And Zacchaeus, he wasn't a kid, but he was small. He couldn't see. So we're getting the picture of Zacchaeus, right? Living in Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and was rich, who was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he couldn't because he was small. So he ran on ahead and climbed the sycamore tree. Could you say ran on ahead and climbed the sycamore tree? I used to know what a sycamore tree was on the day that I learned it, and I forgot it the next day, and that keeps happening. So I just know that a sycamore tree is a tree you can climb. But that's what we learned so far about Zacchaeus. When we meet him, he's up in a tree. Now, we start to learn more about Jesus. Because really the main point. Luke 19:10. Did you say Luke 19:10?
Luke 19:10.
Let's say it together. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Verse 5, look at verse 5. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Jesus knew Zacchaeus was up in the tree. So maybe it's just because he saw him up in the tree. You don't usually, you know, maybe you see some like squirrels in a tree, but usually people, you know, they stand out. So maybe that makes sense. If Zacchaeus could see Jesus walking along the road, then maybe Jesus from where he was could just see Zacchaeus right up there. But Jesus didn't just see him. He looked at him. That's pretty special because, you know, the crowd had been ignoring Zacchaeus, it seems like, right? Nobody made space for him. So everybody else is ignoring Zacchaeus, but Jesus looked at him. But Jesus didn't just look at him either. What does he do? He speaks to him. That's pretty special because all Zacchaeus wanted, all he expected, was to see who Jesus was. Now he's getting to meet Jesus, the famous Jesus. You know, I told you to put the famous person you wanted to meet in the back of your head. Just a few of you can raise your hand if you thought of someone, famous you would like to meet. Hayden?
Corrington
Boone. Okay, yeah, wow. Betty?
Jesus.
Man, Jesus, okay, great. You will. Noah?
Jesus.
Bailey? Meet God, okay. Scarlett?
An angel.
You'd like to meet an angel?
Yeah.
Angel Rodriguez? Yeah, that's that would be amazing. You know what people see? God's angel. Okay.
That's good. That's good.
All right, I was thinking actually just more like local people. So even, I don't know, do you guys know who Aaron Judge is? Aaron Judge is a famous Yankee baseball player. He's pretty tall, so maybe easier to see. But I was just imagining one of you. I know my son's like Aaron Judge, so that's what I was imagining. I was imagining going to a parade, and you hear that Aaron Judge is passing by. Wouldn't it be so cool to get to see him, like, real up close, passing by? But then imagine you can't, because you go all the way to this parade, and then your kid, you're too short, you can't even see him, even though he's tall. But then imagine the grown-up puts you up on your shoulders. I got to see him close to me, this close I could see. He had a little pimple on his face. That's how close we were. But then imagine Aaron Judge looks over at you. And then imagine Aaron Judge says, hey. Oh, wow. But what if it was even more? What if he looked over at you and said, hey, Noah. He knows my name. How do you know my name? Okay. Aaron Judge, that's pretty cool. But do you remember who came to seek and save the lost? The Son of Man, the most important person, looks at Zacchaeus, and he doesn't just say, hey, how you doing up there, man, in the tree? He says, Zacchaeus! He knows Zacchaeus' name. So that's something I started to wonder about. What? How did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? So I thought of a couple possibilities. Maybe Jesus had passed through Jericho before. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus grew up in this country. He walked back and forth all the time in these places. So I was wondering, maybe Jesus had been to Jericho before, and maybe Zacchaeus had never noticed Jesus, but Jesus had noticed him. And Jesus already had a plan to come back someday. That's one possibility. Or maybe Zacchaeus was so well known, everybody talked about him because he was so short. Or maybe Zacchaeus was so well known, everybody talked about him because he was rich, and Jesus had heard his name. Or maybe Zacchaeus was so well known because he had been so evil. And everybody talked about him, and that's how Jesus had known his name. Maybe that's how Jesus knew his name. Or maybe Jesus just knew his name. The way Jesus knows yours. journey. The way Jesus moves everyone about me and me and everybody here. And the way he calls Zacchaeus by name actually is the way Jesus calls you by name. If you've had the good news about Jesus preached to you, taught to you, or you read it in a book, Jesus isn't just calling everybody in general. You know, you've seen a billboard for McDonald's. It's just for everybody in general. Anybody who's hungry, come buy a hamburger at McDonald's. It's for everybody, but it's not really for you in particular. But that's not how Jesus calls people. Jesus calls people by name. His word never goes into people's ears by accident. So if you've heard the good news, give your life to Jesus and you'll be saved, then he wanted you to hear that good news. And he's calling you by name, individually. Whoever you are today, he's calling you to respond to him. But that's not even that. Because Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name, and he didn't say, "Hey Zacchaeus, good to see you," just and keep going. What does he say? He says, "Hurry and come down." And it's not because it's dangerous up in the tree. It's not because it's silly for a man to be up in the tree. It's because Jesus has something better for Zacchaeus than just watching him from far away in the tree. The story starts with Zacchaeus being the furthest person from Jesus. And it ends by Jesus saying, "Guess whose house I'm coming to for dinner?" It's exciting, and I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus says, "Hurry." Because Jesus knows this is exciting for Zacchaeus, and Jesus is excited too. Guess what? I'm coming to your house for dinner. And actually, Jesus doesn't say, "I'm coming over for dinner and staying at your house." He doesn't even say, "I want to stay at your house." What does he say? He says, "I must stay at your house today." I was trying to find, why did Jesus say, "I must stay at your house today"? The one houses to stay at in Jericho? Of course not. So I'm trying to put the pieces together. Jesus knew Zacchaeus was in the tree. Jesus knew his name, and then Jesus says, "I must stay at your house today." And you put it all together. What does it spell? That this was the plan that God had the whole time. And so actually, Zacchaeus wasn't looking for Jesus. That's not really the main thing. Jesus had come looking for Zacchaeus. This was the plan Jesus had all along. That's why he came to Jericho to find Zacchaeus. And you might say, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yes, I'm sure." Luke 19:10. Can you say that? Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus said that right after he found This means that Jesus came to find lost people like you and save you. What does it mean to be lost? It means a lot of things. It means to be far from God. It means to be an enemy of God. It means to be hiding from God. So you might not be hiding in a tree. Am I right about that? Are you hiding in a tree? You might not be hiding in a tree. But maybe you're hiding in your own thoughts. Not just the kids, maybe the grown-ups here. Maybe you're hiding in sin that nobody knows about but you. Maybe you're hiding in a family of Christians. And you know about Jesus, but you don't love him and trust him for yourself. Maybe you're here today and you don't even realize you're lost without Jesus, but you are. Everybody is lost apart from Jesus. But Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. How will you respond to that news? So let's see how the people in the story respond. How does Zacchaeus respond to Jesus when Jesus says, hurry and come down, I must come to your house today? Look at verse 6. You see verse 6 there? So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. So you notice Zacchaeus does exactly what Jesus tells him to do. Jesus said, hurry and come down, and then it says, Zacchaeus hurried and came down. And we're starting to see the first clues that Zacchaeus has a new heart. That God is finding him. That lost Zacchaeus has been found. The last person in Luke's gospel that Jesus commanded to do something was in Luke 18, was also a rich man, like Zacchaeus. And Jesus told that rich man to go and sell his stuff, give his money to the poor, and come follow Jesus. Come be with Jesus. And you remember what the man did? Yeah, Luke doesn't spell it out, but Matthew tells us in 19:22, Jesus said, come follow me. And Matthew says, the man walked away from Jesus. He did not obey. He walked away from Jesus. But this rich man, Zacchaeus, he obeyed right away, all the way. Is an example to us of someone who has true faith in Jesus. But Zacchaeus didn't just obey Jesus instantly. Verse 6 says he received Jesus joyfully. He didn't obey in a grumpy, kind of complaining way. Oh, I gotta get down this tree, I'm gonna scrape my knee. He was excited. This was wonderful news to have Jesus come into his house like this, to have Jesus come into his life like this? Because really what was happening was Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, was coming into his heart. And so there was starting to be joy about Jesus. And in this way, he's also the opposite of that other rich man from Luke 18. Remember him? We just talked about him. The one who walked away from Jesus because he loved his stuff more than he wanted a Savior. That was basically his problem. He loved his stuff more than he wanted a Savior. And do you know how he walked away? Luke 18:23 says, he became very sad. So you've got the sad man who walks away from Jesus. Now you've got the glad Zacchaeus obeying Jesus coming down right away. That other rich man, he became sad because he realized he couldn't have two gods at once. He couldn't have his stuff as a god and Jesus as a god. And that made him sad because he was used to getting everything that he wanted. And sometimes that is true for us too. Maybe the adults in the room know this more by experience. That we're happy to have God as like an add-on. We just don't like him unless the Spirit has changed our hearts to replace our other gods. And it gets us in kind of a funk. It's depressing. It's discouraging to realize that to have God through Christ means to give up your other idols, your other gods. But really, that surrender is the path to true joy. And that's what you see with Zacchaeus. He is happy. He's happy because he's getting something he didn't know he wanted, something he never expected, something he didn't deserve. Not only did he get to see who Jesus was, that's all he was going to do. Not only did Jesus look at him, not only did Jesus speak to him, not only did Jesus say his name, not only did Jesus invite him down for a conversation, but Jesus is coming into his house to spend time, to eat food together. And Zacchaeus receives him. That means he shows him the way to his house and welcomes him in joyfully. I wonder if you remember what Luke said a couple of sermons ago, Luke 18:17. He quotes Jesus, and Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God. That might sound a little weird. How do you receive a kingdom? Well, this is how you receive a kingdom, by receiving the king. Whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child, here's Zacchaeus receiving Jesus joyfully. And I wonder if you've noticed already how much Zacchaeus is a lot like a child in this story. He's short like the kids. He's running like the kids. Sometimes I wonder if there were other kids up in the tree. He's climbing trees. He's having to obey grown-ups who are telling him to come down out of the tree. But there's a more important way that Zacchaeus is like a child. Now, bigger children, as we get older, as you get older, I'm not a child, can get stubborn. But little children, in a different way, they know they need the grown-ups to run their life and give them everything they need. They just know that. And so they live like, please can I have, please can I have, when are we going, what's for dinner? Because little kids just know, I need the grown-ups to run my life, to take me here, to take me there, to feed me, to clothe me, to comfort me. They just know that. And they live like that. And that's what we see with Zacchaeus. As soon as he meets Jesus, he starts letting Jesus run his life. Come down from the tree, give myself to the poor, turn from my sin. He's not too proud. That's how he's like a child. He's not too proud to let Jesus run his life and give him everything he needs. So I don't know about you, I'm happy for Zacchaeus, and we should be happy for Zacchaeus, but almost nobody else in the story is happy for Zacchaeus. Look at verse 7. When they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. So they're grumbling about Jesus. A lot of the people who saw this happen. And one of the reasons they're grumbling is because they were excited about Jesus. A lot of people knew Jesus is something special. And it's exciting to be excited about somebody. And now Jesus, who they were excited about, is doing something a little foolish, a little confusing, something that seems a little bit wrong to him. And it's kind of messing up their excitement. Because they were all excited about Jesus, and now they're not sure they should be excited about him anymore. And bothers them. Well, what's Jesus doing that they think is so bad? He's going into a sinner's house. Now, if you've been listening to your Bible, you might be thinking, well, aren't we all sinners? And the answer is yes. God's word teaches. We should know this. We are all sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We haven't been the kind of loving people God made us to be. We haven't done the good things God commands us to do. Often we've done things that God says clearly not to do. We haven't worshipped God as the one we love most. We made him second place, third place, tenth place, last place. So we're all sinners. We are lost apart from Jesus. But a lot of people in Jesus' day, a lot of people in our day, but this is the grumbling part. They thought they could prove to God and to other people that actually they were good. And one of the ways they tried to prove that to God and to other people is by finding all the people who were worse than them and staying away from them. Does that make sense? So I'm a good person because when I see a bad person, I stay away from them. And tax collectors were the worst. And Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. He's the worst of the worst. He's taking people's money, and nobody likes that. He was taking his fellow Jews' money. So not stranger money, but like his own people. He was taking their money. Nobody likes that. He was taking their money and giving it to the Romans, their enemies. Nobody likes that. And we find out he was actually taking more than he was supposed to. And he would give some of it to the Romans, and the rest of it he would put in his own pocket. He was the worst of the worst. Remember that question, how do you become so rich? Stealing. Why would you do these evil things to other people? Well, because he wanted the money, and he wanted the stuff the money could buy. He was greedy. He was a big sinner stuck in the body of a little man. And now Jesus, out of all the houses in Jericho, with a little sweet old lady, with a nice couple, with a newborn, with the old, you know, godly rabbi, out of all their houses, Jesus goes to the greedy sinner's house. Actually, Jesus says he must go to the greedy sinner's house. Luke 19:10, could you say that? For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Like lost, greedy sinners. So those people are outside grumbling. You know, I think if they could have seen what was happening on the inside of that house, they would have been pretty amazed. Because look what happens in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood. Remember, they just said he's going to sit in the house of a sinner. And then you reverse it. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." So do you hear the amazing thing that's happening in this sinner's house? Now that Jesus is inside, it's almost like Zacchaeus, a greedy tax collector, isn't so greedy anymore. This man who used to steal money is now doing the opposite. He's giving it away. Half of his money. That's a lot of money. Zacchaeus, the sinning rich man, is doing what that other good rich man from Luke 18 wouldn't do. Remember, Jesus told him, sell your stuff and give the money to the poor. And that man said, I'm good. He wouldn't do it. Now here's Zacchaeus. He's been really bad, but Jesus has come into his house and he's saying, I want to do it. I want to sell my stuff and give the money to people who need it more than me. Jesus did a miracle in Zacchaeus' heart. And Zacchaeus shows that his heart is changing, because this is true. Sometimes people like to do nice stuff, and it's not because they love God, it's because they want to look good. But Zacchaeus, he does this nice thing, he's going to give his money to the poor, but he also does something that's actually harder. He confesses his sin. He basically says, I know that there's a lot of people that I've sinned against, and I've taken their money that I shouldn't have. And for anybody who I've done that to, I'm going to pay them back, and then I'm going to pay them back that amount again, and then I'm going to pay them back that amount again, I'm going to pay them back that amount again, fourfold. He says, I am sorry that I have hurt people by sinning against them, and I'm going to do what I can to show them that I'm sorry and to make it right. We have a word for that. One of the words for that in the Bible is repentance. He's turning from his sin. He's turning from his sin. And he's turning his life over to Jesus. It's amazing. It's a miracle. And it's happening right here in this short but big sinner's house. And it's not just that he's repenting, it's that he's also believing. He calls Jesus Lord. Repentance and faith are coming into Zacchaeus' life. And there's another word that kind of brings repentance and faith together into one word. Jesus calls it salvation. Look at verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, right? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus says, today salvation came to this house. Ah, do you remember what Jesus said to Zacchaeus when he was in the tree? I must come to your house today. Because Jesus' plan was to save Zacchaeus today. This was the day Jesus had planned to save the sinner by turning him from a follower of sin into a follower of Jesus. Jesus said salvation has come to this house. But another way of saying it is that Jesus came to his house. Because that's the only way we saved. It's for Jesus to come to a person's life and change their heart. Then Jesus does something very special. Remember what everybody else called Zacchaeus? Sinner, right? Everybody else called him sinner. But salvation has come to this house. So now he's not just a sinner, even though God still has to teach him to turn from sin more and more. He's a saved sinner. He's a sinner saved by grace. So Jesus calls him something different. Jesus says he also is a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. It might be strange for us to hear all of a sudden Jesus talk about Abraham. It wouldn't have been strange to Zacchaeus. It would have just been wonderful. Because what it meant was you're in God's family. You've sinned. But because you trusted in me, I'm not kicking you out. Your sin would have kept you out, but I saved you. Jesus says that this Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. He's saying, you are in God's family. So Zacchaeus turned from his sin and trusted Jesus, and Jesus says, you're not a sinner, you're a son. You were lost like the prodigal son in Luke 15, but I found you. But God actually says something more wonderful to those turn from sin and trust in Jesus today. In John 1:12, we read, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's all amazing. This big sinner is saved. This story started with seeming like Zacchaeus is looking for Jesus, but that's not it at all. He would have just watched Jesus down the road, walk on by him, and he would have died in his sin, his greedy sin, as an enemy of God. But all along, Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. And that's how Jesus ends his conversation. He wants Zacchaeus to know, he wants you to know. Luke 19:10, can you say that? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. If you ever lost something special, you know what it's like to seek, to search for it until you find it. What's so amazing in this story is that no one would have guessed that Zacchaeus was the kind of person who would be so special that God would come looking for him. He didn't deserve to be special to God. Jesus came and found him and made him special. And if you repent and trust in Jesus and receive him as the Lord of your life, he calls you child of God. That's really, really special. Zacchaeus is so special, we don't know the rich man's name from Luke 18, but we know Zacchaeus' name. We actually... It gets used three times in this passage. Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. And I didn't know this before. Do you know what Zacchaeus means? It means pure, clean, innocent. This man, whose name means pure, innocent, clean, was a big, dirty sinner until Jesus found him. And Jesus called him. And Jesus saved him. And then Jesus started to make him into what his name meant. may be here today and think, I may be in a small body, but if people saw my heart, they'd see that it's a big, sinful, dirty history of evil. I'm lost. And that's good that you can see that. But you can't leave it at that. Do you know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost? Hurry and come down. I must come to your house today. Will you hurry and come down? Will you allow Jesus to start running your life? Will you receive this gift of his fellowship and his love and his forgiveness and his presence in your life and start letting him actually change how you see, how you think, how you feel, what you're going to do? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but Jesus is a big Savior. And so if you feel really, really lost, which we are apart from Jesus, then what you need is a really, 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 really strong Savior. And Jesus happens to be the Son of Man. Remember who that is? The most important person. And he came to seek and to save even big sinners like short little Zacchaeus. And if you will listen to him and turn your life over to him and confess to God, I am a big sinner, but I believe Jesus is a big Savior and I want him to rule over my life. If you will receive him with that childlike faith, then God says of you what Jesus said of Zacchaeus: today salvation has come to this person. Luke 19:10. Let's say it together. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let him find you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you came to seek and to save the lost. Open up the ears of our hearts, whoever we are, child, adult, big or small, big sinner in the eyes of the world, little sinner in the eyes of the world. We are lost apart from you. Thank you that you call sinners by name to turn from sin, to turn our lives over to you, and to be forgiven and set free and made pure, made innocent. Give us the joy of knowing Christ as Savior. In his name I pray, God. Amen.